You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of IAS 2009, the 5th International AIDS Society Conference on HIV Pathogenesis, Treatment, and Prevention. The conference took place in Cape Town, South Africa, from July 19th through July 22nd, 2009.
I'm David Mafijiri. I am a medical anthropologist. My affiliation is both in Uganda, East Africa. I'm a lecturer at Makerere University. And I also visit as a research fellow in the United States in Cleveland, Ohio. The school is called Case Western Reserve University. So I'm very lucky to do those two things. My interests in research are basically HIV/AIDS and TB control using community-based initiatives. This poster concerns the experiences that both men and women in Africa, specifically Uganda, undergo during their treatment. So it concerns the spectrum of HIV care, from when they first suspect that they have HIV, to when they first test, to when they get treatment, and then retention, maintenance. So the whole spectrum. And for this specific poster, we were examining the social context of disclosure, because we know that the ability to disclose enhances your care, your testing, your entry into care, and your ability to retain care, to remain on care, especially for a setting where many people depend on different social support networks. So you need to let them know. But HIV comes with so much stigma. So one of the problems most people have is disclosure to confidence, to family, to loved ones. This is part of a bigger cohort study funded by the NIH, and it concerns the social context of HIV treatment and prevention during this era of increased access to drugs. So specifically here, we realize that disclosure continues to be a big problem that hinders many men and women from entering into early care. Women bear the brunt of the burden of HIV in sub-Saharan Africa. And even in our interviews, now the narratives that the women give us here show that they also have a harder time disclosing. Disclosure for them is associated with more negative repercussions. So for that matter, they are less likely to disclose compared to men. Yeah. And so they enter late. And unfortunately, women in our setting also have lower social status. And in this regard, healthcare, access to healthcare, they have to wait for permission. Many of them don't work. You know, those staying at home is work in a Western setting, you know, looking after children. Here, because work is not quantified by pay, they don't work, so they wait for the husbands to give them money, spouses, to go to hospital. Now, if you can't disclose to your husband or brother or whoever, then you can't access care. So, briefly, I'll just say that preliminary analysis here shows us that there are gender differences in patterns of disclosure, in patterns of how people perceive the stigma of HIV/AIDS, and therefore most programs that are concerned with increasing the efforts of availing care need to consider that women continue to have a bigger burden, although generally both men and women still suffer a lot of the problems of stigma.
Are there other reasons you think that women bear greater stigma?
I think for me the most important reason is that they are generally disenfranchised, they are dominated. This is a very paternalistic society. Anytime you have someone who is not equal due to their gender or their other social factors, those people always suffer more. Young girls, for example, will have first encounters with sex before young boys. Young girls will have bigger problems reporting to a healthcare center compared to boys. Women who are married or who have a spouse will find it harder to control their spouses, because traditionally it's the men who go out in the drinking venues, it's the men who earn the money and all that stuff. I think it's generally the common factors that are known that have led to male domination, which are largely social factors, nothing biological, though you'll know that they will use biology to justify the differences between men and women. That's the main reason I can think of: lower social status, less education. Our demographics will show you they are less educated, they have less income, they drop out of school earlier than boys. There are communities where boys are taken to school and girls are left out. Girls are married off very early. Boys inherit, girls don't inherit. That's very important in terms of passing on resources for the future. Traditionally, girls don't inherit. If I want my lineage to continue, family, you know, like the old Victorian type of Western society, you don't consider the girl to be able to pass on your line. So that's why I was telling you they use biology. Because girls don't produce, meaning do not fertilize, but they use biology to divide. Because you know that both male and female participate more or less equally in conception, but they consider that the man is the one who's producing in your line. We borrowed that, I think, from Western societies.
The opinions expressed by host or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from IAS 2009. For more coverage of this conference, please visit us online at thebodypro.com/IAS2009.